SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of the Morning After, live right here on this Friday on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, channel 159, all across the Spiz Grizz network. That is also Sports Grid. Thank you for joining us here. I am Ben Stevens. A huge Friday in the world of sports. The second night of the Sweet 16 in the 2023 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. The Women's Tournament starts their action in the Sweet 16 on this Friday evening as well. And following the debut night of the Round of 16 in the Big Dance yesterday, with heroics across the board, the anticipation grows for this Friday as well. In the Big Dance, we'll continue our breakdowns for the rest of hour number two. But we start with a focus on the NFL draft, because just in a month, in Kansas City, where the Midwest region takes place tonight, we will have the 2023 NFL draft, the opening round on Thursday, April 27th, the 3 days, the 27th through the 29th. So let's touch in once again on the top 10 of that draft order, after we have seen some reshuffling, at least at the top. The Chicago Bears traded that number one overall selection to the Carolina Panthers. So Carolina now selects number one overall. They have said at least they are slightly interested in hearing offers from around the league if they are going to send that number one pick away. But currently, it's Carolina at number one. Then the Houston Texans, number two. The Arizona Cardinals drafting number three. Indianapolis at number four. Seattle, because of the Russell Wilson trade, still has pick number five. The Lions at six because of the Jared Goff deal. The Las Vegas Raiders, the Atlanta Falcons, then the Bears, now moving back to number nine, and the Eagles in the top 10 as well. And so as we get ready for the NFL draft, this carousel continues to spin. We had the combine just a couple of weeks ago in Indianapolis. The ending portion of this week has been huge in terms of pro days. Yesterday, it was Bryce Young, the 2021 Heisman winner, showing out and working out in Tuscaloosa in Alabama. Today in Lexington, it will be Kentucky's Will Levis. On Wednesday afternoon, it was C.J. Stroud, the Ohio State quarterback, putting in some work at the Buckeyes Pro Day in Columbus. Tons of NFL scouts, of course, there. Tons of NFL personnel there, including new Carolina Panthers head coach Frank Reich and his new quarterbacks coach as well, Josh McCown, who had this to say to C.J. Stroud following his workout on Wednesday in Columbus. If you didn't quite make out what Josh McCown had to say to C.J. Stroud, it was this. Maybe when you live in Charlotte, we'll find a court. Talking about a game of basketball or a game of horse. Josh McCown is known to be quite a hooper. Now, here's the really interesting thing. Bryce Young did not work out at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis at the end of this past month. He did get measured officially, 5'10 and a half. And despite maybe some of the concerns around his height, the fact he did not work out in Indy and that C.J. Stroud and really Anthony Richardson stole the show, Bryce Young still left Indianapolis as the odds-on favorite to go number one overall. And then 3 weeks ago today, Carolina trades for that first overall selection with Chicago, and the odds board moves drastically. Quickly, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. The second hour of the Morning After, live on this Friday. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. I am Ben Stevens. So, just about a month out from the 2023 NFL draft, now the odds look very interesting for that number one overall selection. Because, as I mentioned, Bryce Young left Indianapolis, despite not working out at the combine, as the odds-on favorite to go number one overall. But then the Bears, 3 weeks ago, traded that first selection to Carolina, and C.J. Stroud heavily became the odds-on favorite, that number only growing stronger after this week of pro days and maybe what we just showed you, Josh McCown speaking to C.J. Stroud, giving us a hint or some insight about what the Panthers might elect to do with that number one overall selection. However, of course, there is always steam surrounding the quarterback position entering the final month of that draft cycle leading up to an NFL draft. Anthony Richardson was an absolute workout star in Indianapolis. And Thomas Davis, who now works as an analyst for the NFL Network, who spent 13 years of his NFL career in Charlotte for the Carolina Panthers organization, did say this on TV just a few days ago, that he is hearing Carolina is very interested, quote, enamored with Anthony Richardson. But again, as you saw, those odds, AR now 8-1 to go number one overall. So who is most likely to select Anthony Richardson? Some feel as though he needs to be developed in the National Football League, despite the incredible record-setting raw athletic tools that he has. Maybe Indianapolis at number four, a plus 150 price, the shortest number to select AR. So those are the quarterbacks, but the defensive side of the football is stacked as well. Here are the favorites right now currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook to be the first player selected in their positional group. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who also worked out on Wednesday in Columbus, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, a heavy odds-on favorite to be that first wideout selected. The tight end out of Notre Dame, Michael Meyer, the odds-on favorite to be that first tight end. Peter Skoronski, a offensive tackle from Northwestern, that favorite there. Will Anderson, out of Alabama, the odds-on favorite to be the first defensive player selected. And then you saw Christian Gonzalez, a defensive back from Oregon as well. More the morning after, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not far away from us here, inside our Sports Grid studios in Midtown Manhattan, is of course the world's most famous arena. That is Madison Square Garden. We welcome you back to The Morning After, live right here on this Friday on Sports Grid. And the NCAA tournament has descended on Manhattan, as you hear from outside our Sports Grid studios, as some cab out in the street is blaring on the horn on this Friday morning. I am Ben Stevens. We now bring on our executive producer here in the mornings. It is Alex Fasano, a man that knows the streets well, our field producer, if you will, for Benny and the Bets. And Fasano was so much of the focus of the big dance on Madison Square Garden. Sensational games last night on a Thursday. Saturday night in the Big Apple inside MSG as well. It only felt fitting to hit the streets and attest the knowledge of New Yorkers and their college basketball specs as well.
Yeah, Ben, UBS West over there in Madison Square Garden. The Islanders are in a wild card spot. Oh, what is there something else going on in the city? Are we not talking about hockey?
Sure,
that's right. A Sweet 16 at Madison Square Garden. What a sweat last night with K-State and Michigan State. But hey, you said it, Ben. The people on the streets of New York are very excited. We had a little fun with some logo guessing game out there. I mean, I don't know. The people's bracket is in shambles, and this could probably explain why, because they didn't even know there was a basketball game happening at Madison Square Garden. So I'm just going to, you know what, let's just cut it out right now. Let's go right into it. So everybody just take a nice deep breath. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of Benny and the Bets.
This week, the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament descends on Manhattan. Four teams have found their way to Madison Square Garden. Today, we hit the streets of New York City to see if New Yorkers could spot the team logos. Can you name this team's logo?
The Warriors.
Trojans.
The Trojans?
That's the Vikings.
Not a warrior, but close to a warrior.
Oh, the Romans.
The Trojans or something?
I don't think so.
You're coming to New York City this week?
Yes, I work here, so, yeah.
I think it's to do with American football, no? Something like that, I don't know.
College, but college basketball.
Now. Oh, college basketball.
Phone a friend. This one?
Michigan State.
It's Michigan State, go Sparty.
What's the team logo, bro? He's British, he won't know.
Sparty.
Of?
Michigan State.
Michigan College Spartans. Michigan State University Spartans.
Michigan State Spartans.
Wow, that was very comp. I like your walk, too. That guy knows.
Michigan State.
What's their mascot?
Spartans.
Nice, man. You knew it. Can you name this team logo?
The Texans.
It is not. It's college basketball. That's what we're looking for.
Oh, I have no clue then.
Oh, okay. I know this one. Texas A&M.
Tennessee.
Wow, that was a 2-for-2.
Tennessee.
Volunteers, baby.
Tennessee.
Tennessee Vols.
Oh, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Nice, you got it. Believe in yourself.
I went to an Ivy League school. I didn't know the state school.
Can you name this team's logo?
Man, that's a tough one.
It is. Oh. It does say the letters on top. We're looking for the school.
Yeah.
No idea.
No idea. It goes hoot hoot.
Something university. FAU.
Florida. No.
Next one.
Florida Atlantic.
Wow, you knew that very quickly.
Florida Atlantic University.
Look at that. Great deductive reason.
Thank you.
FAU is the one you got?
I'm from Florida.
You know, are we talking about a college sports team?
We are.
You see, you didn't cue me to that.
Oh. Can you name this team logo?
Panthers.
Close. It is a cat.
Well, the Panthers.
Bobcats.
Close. You're getting closer.
Kansas State.
Arizona Wildcats.
No. Close. Wildcats was correct. Wrong state.
Wildcats.
You know, like, girl, what?
Wildcats.
I gotta get to lunch.
Well, have a good day.
That looks like Kansas State, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Tennessee. Michigan State.
Too easy.
Florida Atlantic. Kansas State.
That was too easy for you.
Yeah.
Who do you think is gonna win the East region?
Who's gonna win the East? Probably Tennessee.
Who wins the East region?
Tennessee.
Who wins the East regional?
K-State.
K-State. Rocky Top, you.
Oh, Rocky Top to you. Is that how it goes?
It was close.
Close enough.
We learned something today, though, right?
Yeah.
Life is about getting knowledge.
And going to college.
There you go, Ben. Life's about gaining knowledge and going to college. Although I don't want to rip on the people's bracket, but, you know, we went out in the streets a couple weeks ago, and when Duke, Utah State, what is that? ISU? Like Indiana State? I don't even know. UCLA?
Iowa State.
Handwriting over here. Iowa State. That's it. Iowa State. Yeah. And UCLA are the Final Four. Pretty bad look for the public. But hey, you know, it's Tennessee, right? Going to win the East, right? Ugh, hate to see it from the public.
I mean, listen, Faz, the people's bracket was in shambles before the NCAA tournament even officially began. It was a terrible year for the people out there. Duke, UCLA, the final. Neither team will even reach the Elite Eight. And I don't want to call out the public either. You know, I love the public, but you would think if somebody went to an Ivy League and their Ivy League school, the Princeton Tigers, are still dancing in the Sweet 16, they would have a lot of knowledge about those state schools. That was not very nice. And the public so far, the Volunteers already out of the East Regional. It is FAU and K-State. Shout out to the guy that said K-State, by the way. He was wearing a Nebraska shirt. So we had a couple of Go Big Red moments in there, Faz. You know that I see tons of Nebraska fans on the streets of New York City quite often.
Oh, yeah. We saw that big red shirt. Your eyes lit up on the streets. But, yeah, there you go. Go K-State for that guy. But, hey, the people had UConn in the Elite Eight. 1 out of 8, guys.
Shout
out
to
the public. Let's go, guys. Good for them.
The people's bracket.
The people's bracket lives on. All right, but let's get into it, guys. The producer picks. I guess I'm going to start us off here, right? It's college hoops today, right? So let's do a college hoops bet. I'm taking the under total 149.5 in Xavier and Texas. And here's why, Ben. Texas, their last five games have all gone to the under. Xavier's 3-2 to the under in their last five. However, in their last four, they've limited their opponents to around 66 points per game. If it's got two teams on the defensive end of the ball really laying it out there, why not take a high total, take the under 149.5? That's a pretty big number there, Ben.
Faz, I think it's a really good point because the total is a little bit lofty at 149 and a hook. Now, Xavier is not good defensively. Texas can win this game either way, whether it's a high-scoring affair or a defensive struggle, but only Texas wins the defensive struggle, in my estimation. So if they keep Xavier under, maybe the Longhorns cover as a 4.5-point favorite as well.
Shout out to the Sus Dog. I know he's got riding the X's in his bracket there. We were shouting that out on Bracket Central the other week. That was a great time. Sorry, Brett Levy and Kennesaw State. Moving on, we
Not
go
sorry,
to Bocce.
Brett.
Yeah, we're not sorry, Brad. I mean, you got to play both sides, right? Yeah. Miami money line at +270, Botch, really, against Houston. I mean, I kind of like the +7.5, like keeping it close. But Pachi thinks an outright victory for the Hurricanes. They got a lot of weapons. They can score the ball in different ways. Ben, are we riding an outright upset victory?
No. Not an outright, but I am backing Miami +7.5. I have Houston winning my national championship. I think the game is close. Both teams that look very similar in the way they are constructed, but I don't know if Miami wins outright in KC tonight.
Tough look for that, Botch. But hey, we're riding with you sort of, right? Okay. Miami +7, you got the money line. Where have I seen this before? Kennesaw State, Brett. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I have to keep piling it on.
Bury that man.
I'm sorry. It was just so much fun out there on Bracket Central. But hey, we got another pick for you guys. It's our graphics producer, Jesse Metzger, taking Princeton +10.5. He's not going on the money line. I think it's like +390 now for an outright victory. But he didn't go to an Ivy League school like that woman on Benny and the Bets. But he knows that this is a large number, a double-digit favorite for Creighton. Mm. Have they covered really that often as a double-digit favorite? I don't think so. Ben, what do we like here?
Creighton has covered in both of its NCAA tournament games so far in the Big Dance. Princeton has not shot it all that well from three. Just 4-25 against Arizona, 12 of 33 against Missouri, but they are balanced. If the threes start to drop for the Tigers tonight, maybe this game is closer than that double-digit spread. Alex Fasano, thank you sincerely. More from around March Madness and the Sweet 16 on this Friday with Ryan Hammer up next here on The Morning After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four games last night in the Sweet 16, and what a start it was to this component of the second weekend of the 2023 Men's NCAA Tournament. Four more games on this Friday night as well, where the madness intensifies once again. Welcome back to a Friday live right here on The Morning After on Sports Grid. We continue to break it all down, all the college basketball action that you have entering the weekend, and we do that currently with Ryan Hammer joining us from FanDuel live right here on TMA, one of the best basketball minds you will find this time of year. Ryan, thank you so much for waking up early with us on this Friday morning following all that we saw last night in the Sweet 16 to preview what we'll get on tonight's slate as well.
Of course. Appreciate you having me on. Kind words as always, my man, even in the morning.
Of course. Of course. Listen, it was a late night. I didn't go to bed until 1:30 a.m. Eastern time following the excitement that we had in Las Vegas. But as John Rothstein would say, we sleep in May, so we power through into tonight's action in the Friday slate of our Sweet 16. Just two remaining one seeds left here, Ryan, in the Big Dance, including the pre-tournament favorites, the preseason national championship favorites, the Houston Cougars, the number one seed in the Midwest region. But at the bottom half of that bracket, it's the 2-3 battle between Texas and Xavier. So as you see the Cougs right here, Ryan, a slight minus money, odds on favorite, to get back to Houston, their hometown, for a Final Four appearance. How do you evaluate Houston's path through the Midwest region entering the second weekend?
Well, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mostly chalk. So it's definitely going to be tough because you got a lot of those really good teams. I actually value that they haven't looked great in their first two games, but they've gotten the job done. Northern Kentucky was a pretty good 16 seed, and Auburn playing in Birmingham, Alabama is definitely a tough game. They looked shaky in the first half, but they had probably their best half of the entire season in the second half. But I value that they were able to get past that in their lesser performances, and now they've had time to rest. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. They're going to prep. They're going to scout. They're going to do everything they need. So I think they're heading in a really good direction. Miami is such a polarizing style to what they play. Miami likes to open it up, run the floor, transition, and Houston likes to crunch the game down and make it tough. So I think that's going to be tell the story tonight if Miami can get that in and Houston in transition and if Houston can keep Miami into a half-court offense. But then you get Xavier at Texas. Listen, I'm riding with the Horns. I'm riding with the Longhorns. I've been saying that all tournament long. And that's going to be a next-level matchup, Houston and Texas, if we get that.
And we will talk about that game in just a moment. But first, up in Kansas City, the first game in the Midwest region tonight is Houston and Miami. The 1 versus the 5 out in the Midwest, now in the Sweet 16. Ryan, you mentioned it. When you look at the roster, similar constructions, but different styles of play. Houston is one of the 25 slowest tempos of college basketball, according to KenPom. Miami, much faster, in the top 100 in all of the country. It's a 7.5-point spread in favor of the Cougs. Ryan, in your estimation, should the number be this large in favor of Houston?
Definitely not, because Houston is the favorite. And the games that Houston – I was on Northern Kentucky the first round because those spread was so big, but Houston doesn't play those games that get expanded so easily. So the less points there are in the game total, the less the spread should be. Miami is good enough. It's guard versus guards. It's great backcourts versus great backcourts. Miami has shown ability to play a little good defense and slow down if they need to. Jim Larrañaga is an awesome coach. He just likes to push the floor because of the personnel they have. But Houston has shown ability to play really good offense. So I think there's going to be a little give and take, a little balance. And that's why I think we could get maybe not an instant classic like we got two last night, but a really good matchup. I think it's going to be a tight one.
I can't wait for the backcourt battle. In the round of 32 for Miami and their big win over Indiana, Nigel Pack, Isaiah Wong, and Jordan Miller, the three guards, combined for 58 points. For Houston's comeback victory over Auburn, where the Cougs were down by 10 and then scored 50 points in the second half, Jamal Shedd, Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark, combined for 58 points. So as we look at the Cougs, Ryan, the storyline following Houston entering the big dance, the health of Marcus Sasser, that was the case in the opening weekend, and some injury concern around the veteran guard in Jamal Shedd. As we look at the prop component for tonight's matchup against Miami, who is the most important player for Houston if they want to advance to the Elite Eight?
I think it's Jairus Walker, because we talked about the guard so much. We just went through all of them, right? You said 58, 58. Norchet Amir was an absolute monster against Indiana. He terrorized the boards, and it really ruined Indiana's game plan, and it's restricted what they could do. So I think Jairus Walker, one, with the matchup against Norchet Amir, is going to be really important. But if Jairus can get his and defend Norchet really well, clean the defensive glass really well, I think that they should have a much easier time than maybe we're anticipating. But he's a grown man. He can definitely compete with Amir. I think it's a really good battle, really good matchup, so I'm excited to see that one.
Norchet Amir, the veteran. The freshman is Jairus Walker. It is going to be an absolute great start to the Midwest region tonight out in Kansas City. The nightcap in KC, it is Texas and Xavier. The 2-3 matchup in the Sweet 16 in the Midwest region. Right now, Ryan, the team that you are wearing on your shirt, the Longhorns, a 4.5-point favorite. How do you evaluate this matchup? How do these two teams, and the Musketeers and Longhorns, stack up against one another?
Xavier's had I don't want to say easy path, because it's not really very respectful to the teams they've played, but they have had a relatively easy path compared to the other teams that have gotten to the Sweet 16, and they haven't looked good, especially in the first round game against Kennesaw State. Now, Zach Fremantle injury is terrible, but they still have guys like Sully Boom, Colby Jones, Jack Nungy to take over and do what they need to do. They play very much like Arizona does, very much like Alabama does. High pace, a lot of offense. They don't play a lot of defense. Texas has the ability to do everything. They'll play whatever it is to adapt to their opponent, and that's why I love Texas so much. If I'm betting this game tonight, I can't go against Texas on spread or money line. So
I jumped in on Texas when the line opened up on Sunday night following the conclusion of the round of 32. 3.5 at that point in favor of UT. Now it's 4.5 in favor of the Longhorns. The total is one of the largest that we have seen here in the round of 16, although slightly down as of about an hour ago to 148.5. Ryan, as you look at the team totals tonight, Texas, 76 in a hook. Xavier, the seventh most efficient offense in the country, 72.5. What do you expect the game flow to look like tonight in Kansas City?
Because Texas does tend to tailor to their opponent, I think it might go over, honestly. I'm feeling a lot of points. In the games they've played against really good defenses, you look against Baylor and teams like that throughout earlier in the year, they play in very high-scoring matchups because they can, because they know their opponents can do that, so they know they need to do that to be able to beat them. Obviously, they have a good defense. They can try to shut Xavier down. Xavier's got a lot of good guards, a lot of good backcourt players, so I don't know how easy it's going to be. I tend to lean over, but again, it's a really high number, so it's tough.
It is a very high number, slightly ticking down at this point of a Friday morning. So Houston is the one seed in the Midwest. The top team in the tournament Alabama out in the South region, one of the two remaining one seeds that we have in the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. Houston, a 7.5-point favorite against Miami. Alabama, a 7.5-point favorite against San Diego State. When you look at the Aztecs and the Crimson Tide here, Ryan, what is the key matchup that will determine the result tonight out in Louisville?
It's going to be the pace of play. It's the exact same, it's the exact opposite, honestly, of Houston-Miami, where the favorite is the team that likes to push the floor, and the underdog is the team that likes to crunch the game down. San Diego State does a very, very good job of that. They're pretty underrated still, in my opinion. They've had a pretty easy path, too. But they're physical. They're athletic on defense. They move so well. They slide. They help. So they're built to defend a team like Alabama, who shoots a blistering amount of threes, 45-plus percent of three of shots or threes. But San Diego State holds teams to about 29% from three on the season, which is unbelievable when you really put it into perspective. Yeah. But that's going to be the key, is if they can keep Alabama into a half-court offense, they can contest their threes, because guys like Brandon Miller are not tough to block. But if you disrupt their shots, you make your life a lot easier. And San Diego State has the guys to do it. So I almost want to take the Aztecs on the spread.
The Aztecs, the fifth best defense in all of college basketball, the fourth best three-point shooting defense in college basketball, as Ryan said, and I will echo, their opponents shooting just 28.7% from deep all year long. As we go to the next game in the South region, the nightcap, Cinderella continues dancing. That is Princeton, the 15 seed in the South region, the Ivy League school from New Jersey, facing off against Creighton. The Blue Jays have the largest number in their favor in all of the round of 16. It is now double digits, Ryan Hammer, at 10.5 points in favor of the Jays. Will this game, though, be closer than that double digit spread indicates?
I lean yes, because what Princeton did so well against Arizona and Missouri was force them out of what they do best. Now, the problem with Creighton is that they do a lot of things really well, and they don't do one thing that specifically that's so good. They have great guards. They have good wings. They have a good big. They're starting five. They all do everything. So I think that's what makes it tough for Princeton. That's why I think Creighton's going to handle it down the stretch easily. Maybe a free throw battle or a couple of buckets puts them into double digits and covers the spread. But I think Princeton on 10.5, a lot of points, the way they're playing, the style they play, to keep it relatively close at least. So
Creighton has made it to the Sweet 16 in two of the last three NCAA tournaments, but never in program history have the Blue Jays reached the Elite Eight. They're a 10.5-point favorite to do that tonight. Alabama, a 7.5-point favorite against San Diego State. As we look at the South Regional Final, scheduled for Sunday afternoon, Ryan Hammer, what do you anticipate we will see in Louisville?
I'm anticipating Alabama Creighton to go with the favorites. I think Alabama is going to end up doing what they need to do to get past San Diego State, whether it's tough. And I think Creighton, the same, is going to take care of business. I think Creighton can win the national title. I think they're that good. I said that before the tournament. I said that when they were struggling without Ryan Kalkbrenner. If they're fully healthy, they can compete for a national title. If the line is 4.5, 5.5-plus favored for Alabama, I like Creighton on that. And I think they could beat Alabama, get to the Final Four.
As I learned from Ryan Hammer, and a point I agree with, the team that he is wearing, Texas, and the Creighton Blue Jays, as Ryan said, probably have the best starting five lineups in all of college basketball. And you add in Sir Jabari Rice for the Longhorns, 1-6. Texas is pretty solid as well. Ryan, my only preseason college basketball bet, Creighton at 25-1 to win a national championship. I ride with you. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining us here on The Morning After.
There you go. Of course. Enjoy the games.
We continue to break down the Sweet 16 on this Friday night, up next on TMA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four more Sweet 16 spots or games that we have on this Friday evening, with two more spots in the Elite Eight up for grabs, and then four Elite Eight games on Saturday and Sunday. Two Saturday, two Sunday, to determine the Final Four standing in Houston, Texas next weekend. Welcome back to The Morning After, live right here on this Friday, all across the Sports Grid Network. I'm Ben Stevens. Our good friend Anthony DeBundo from the Action Network joins us live right here on this Friday to set the stage for not only the Sweet 16, but the entirety of the Elite Eight weekend. Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time, as always, to join us here on this Friday.
There's like a special time of year when your bracket is still in contention and you're doing all the permutations in your pools. And that was me this morning going through the permutations, figuring out what I need to root for this weekend. So it's good to be here and good to have a competitive bracket for a change.
Root for this weekend, maybe find some profitability with some single game wagers as well. So, Anthony, let's look at the bracket overall. It is called March Madness for a reason. There is the entirety of this month that gets filled up with chaos. So, obviously, there are some things we did not expect. But as we go deeper and deeper into the big dance, the cream starts to rise to the top. So, Anthony, as you look back on the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, the first night of the Sweet 16 as well, what has been the biggest surprise in your estimation?
I'll say Kansas State. I think it has to be them. I had them pretty overseeded as a three. They're a team that I was a little bit skeptical of coming into the tournament. And they have risen to the occasion. In the last two games, both coming down to the wire, clutch shot making, Marquise Noel putting on a dazzling display last night. Keontae Johnson, after a pretty weak showing against Kentucky, showing out huge with the backdoor cuts and then, of course, the lob. They certainly exceeded my expectations and have been really the story of the tournament and you could argue the story of the season in college basketball. As impressive as FAU was as well, Jerome Tang only had five scholarship players on the roster when June and July rolled around, and they were really putting this thing together piecemeal, projected to finish near the bottom of the league. And there's a swagger and a vibe about them that's really fun to watch. And I don't really lean into narratives too much, but I'm rooting for Jerome Tang and enjoying this little run here.
How could you not? 30 years for Jerome Tang before getting this first opportunity at the D1 level to be a head coach. 19 years as an assistant in some form with Baylor, the 11 years prior to that, a high school head coach that he built into a powerhouse in Texas. He is a front runner for National Coach of the Year, deservedly so. Because K-State, Anthony, last year was 14-17. Four of their five leading scorers from last year's roster did not return for this season. They were picked to finish dead last, 11 out of 11 in the Big 12. And here they are as a 26-win basketball team dancing into the Elite Eight with an instant classic last night in the world's most famous arena inside Madison Square Garden, getting past Tom Izzo and the Spartans of Michigan State, 98-93 in overtime. The Marquise Noel game, 20 points, 19 assists, an NCAA tournament record for a single game performance. Anthony, how will you describe what you saw last night inside Madison Square Garden?
Well, I actually watched the game with one of my good friends who is a diehard Spartans fan. And so we were living and dying with every shot. It was remarkable. I think there was a four-minute stretch from about maybe 10 minutes to go until about 6 minutes to go where neither team could get a stop. It was incredible. Shot making, great offense, getting wide open looks. Even the contested ones went in. And it was really just, I mean, the game of the tournament for me. I know Gonzaga UCLA had an absurd ending, and there have been some great endings between Furman and whatnot. But I think for me, from start to finish, that was the game of the tournament.
K-State shot nearly 56% from the floor. Michigan State just barely under 50%. But the Spartans last night, 52% from deep as well. Shot making, playmaking, 19 dimes, record-setting nights in his hometown for Mr. New York City, Marcus Noel, living up to that name. So now in the East Regional Final on Saturday night, tomorrow inside Madison Square Garden, it's Kansas State as a slight 2.5-point favorite against FAU. The Owls into the Elite Eight, Anthony, for the first time in program history. What do you expect to see in the East Regional Final tomorrow night?
Well, you know, nobody's really had the answer for Noel in the last two games, and I think that's meaningful because those two teams play a little bit bigger than Florida Atlantic will. I think the Owls actually match up well enough to avoid some bad switches and to be able to do a better job of keeping Noel in front, because that's really the biggest thing with this offense right now. Kansas State has shot the ball ridiculously well. They've run very good to get to this point. And I'm not looking to bet against Noel, but I also do think that if this gets to three, I'm going to hop in on the Owls, because I think they're able, you know, they go four out a lot. They do shoot a lot of threes, which is the strength of this defense for Kansas State. But I think that this Kansas State defense can be driven on and taken to the rim, and I think FAU will have some success there as well. So I don't think it's a bad matchup for FAU. Like I said, they're more switchable Then the last two opponents that Kansas State has faced, they got Noel in some pretty favorable matchups and took advantage. I think that'll be a little harder to do on Saturday night, and I think this is pretty close to a coin flip as well.
There will be a ton of focus on Kansas State because of Marquise Noel, Mr. New York City, inside the Garden, and the narrative surrounding Jerome Tang and the job he has done in his first year in Manhattan, that being Manhattan, Kansas. But FAU is a 34-win basketball team that has been booked as an underdog six times this year. They have won five of those games outright. It will be close. It will be competitive tomorrow evening inside MSG. Out to Las Vegas now we go. In the West Regional Final, it will be Gonzaga and UConn. But first, let's look back on the nightcap last night, Anthony. Gonzaga and UCLA always gives us an instant classic, it feels, in the NCAA tournament. Julian Strother, under 10 seconds remaining, from the logo, bangs in a three as Gonzaga wins 79-76. What stood out to you most about another sensational matchup between the Bruins and Zags?
I mean, I tweeted it right after the game. I was like, can we just sign up for Gonzaga and UCLA to play one another every year in the NCAA tournament, regardless of seed or matchup? Just put them in the same corner of the bracket, and let's hope that every game lives up to, you know, Adam Morrison in 06 or Jalen Suggs in 2021 and now this year with Julian Strother. I mean, I think it's interesting. It wasn't a great look. You had 10 seconds. You draw up a play to take a logo three when you're down one. It's interesting. Yeah. And it worked. Had they missed it, we would have all said, oh, that was such a bad shot. Why'd they go to that play and whatnot? So it was interesting. You know, credit Gonzaga for locking up defensively. I thought that had more to do with UCLA running out of gas. They didn't really use the bench in the first half. They were already shorthanded without Clark and Bona. And it looked to me like the legs went for UCLA and that they just didn't have anything left. And they did make that late charge, but that was more, again, Gonzaga choking the lead away. I'm almost happy Gonzaga did come back because I was worried everybody was going to be on the UConn train after they had that dominant win against the Hogs. But I think now the way Gonzaga did win, we're going to see a lot of Gonzaga love. And you know, the market did open Gonzaga as a small favorite. I know it's flipped since. I think UConn should be favored and is going to make the Final Four. I think they're the better team.
You saw that March rivalry between Gonzaga and UCLA. Three of their four meetings in the Big Dance have been decided by a combined 8 points, including last night, Julian Strother. It was one of those moments, Anthony, where I was alone in my apartment yelling at the TV, no, that can't be the shot. And it goes in, and Gonzaga into the Elite Eight for the fifth time in the last 8 years. Well, they will take on Connecticut. UConn has been an absolute wagon here in the NCAA tournament. Of course, a perfect 3-0 to get to the Elite Eight, but 3-0 against the spread as well. All three of their victories by at least 15 points, an average margin of victory of near 21 points per game. Gonzaga opened as the slight favorite. The Huskies now a slight 1.5-point favorite with a total of 153.5. Anthony, how do you break down this matchup between UConn and Gonzaga?
Well, unlike UCLA, who really had no answer for Drew Timmy inside without Bona, UConn will have the answer. They have the rim protection. They have the depth. Sonogo and Klingon can take some fouls if needed. They can, you know, corral Timmy enough, I think, to get this game in their favor. And I think UConn has more athleticism. They're a much better rim defense than Gonzaga is. Gonzaga, I mean, the first half did still happen. I know that they came back to win. But the first half, giving up 46 points, no really rim protection whatsoever. I think UConn's going to be able to exploit them pretty comfortably at one end. And I think of a matchup of two elite teams, the weakest unit is by far this Gonzaga defense. And I think they're going to get exposed here with, you know, UConn having the legs. And it is interesting. I mean, look, UConn got to cruise. They didn't really have to sweat the last 20 minutes of the game, pretty much. The game was over by halftime. Gonzaga had all the emotional energy from the comeback, playing late at night, you know, saving, you know, basically their season on one shot. All of the emotion that comes from that win to then pick it up again on Saturday night is going to be, I think, tougher for them than UConn, who kind of just strolled. So I like the Huskies from the matchup perspective. I think they're the better team. I'd lay up to two.
Including the NCAA tournament, UConn now in non-conference games, 14-0 straight up, 13-0-1 against the number. They have won every game by double digits, and that's an average margin of victory of 25.3 points per game. It will be a heavyweight bout tomorrow night out in Las Vegas. But first, The final four games of the Sweet 16 on this Friday evening in the South region. The top team in the tournament, Alabama, a 7.5-point favorite against San Diego State. Creighton has the largest number in its favor of any game in the Sweet 16, Anthony. It's 10.5 against Cinderella from New Jersey, the Princeton Tigers. Houston, 7.5-point favorites in the Midwest region as the one seed against Miami. And Texas, a 4.5-point favorite in that 2-3 matchup against Xavier, the Longhorns, on that 2 line. So as you look at the four games for this Sweet 16 Friday, Anthony DeBundo, what is your best bet?
I'm going to go with the Aztecs, San Diego State plus 7.5. I can't get to this number. San Diego State was the class of the Mountain West all year. They won the regular season, the conference tournament. They've been rated as a top 20 team pretty much all year for me. Alabama played the SEC championship 2 weeks ago against Texas A&M on that Sunday, Selection Sunday. They laid 5.5. I want to know what power rating system in the world has A&M 2 points better than San Diego State. You won't find one. There isn't one. I think San Diego State's better team. And I think they have the physicality to really match up here. The Aztecs guard the 3-point line as well as any team in the country. They guard the rim extremely well. And that's really what Alabama does. Everything is rim and three, rim and three, rim and three. And the Aztecs will not be overmatched physically. And if you do look at Alabama, there's been a couple of games where they have struggled this year. UConn, Tennessee, both big, physical, long teams that kind of punch them in the mouth a little bit. I think you're going to see that tonight. They have the depth as well, the physicality. I think this game's going to be close. I don't know that the Aztecs score enough to stay in it. I think they have major half-court issues, but they've been the number one defense by a wide margin in Bartorvik efficiency since February 1st. This Tech team is very good and going to be very tough to beat. So I think the Bama probably wins, but 7.5 is too many points.
Anthony, you talked about your bracket insight as we enter this second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Out of the 12 teams remaining, who is in your Final Four now and maybe compared to your original bracket after Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Houston and UConn. They were my two picks on the right side of the bracket to come out of the Midwest and the West. I have a chance at all four of the Elite Eight there. So we're rolling with Houston, Texas tonight, and then Houston and UConn on the next couple of days. The other side of the bracket, I had Purdue. We don't talk about that. But I also had Creighton and Bama meeting in the Elite Eight. With Bama winning, I'm starting to think Creighton has a real chance to pull off that upset, though. So if I had to change one pick, it would probably be Creighton to the Final Four. And I like their chances tonight.
Me as well. I like Creighton getting to the Final Four, maybe the national championship as well. Anthony DeBundo, thank you. More of the Morning After next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 2 hours together here, live on this Friday on the Morning After on Sports Grid. Sirius XM, channel 159. That is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. All across the Spiz Grizz Network, that is Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Yes, it is a Friday, which is always a beautiful thing, but it is also a Sweet 16 Friday, making it about 100 million times better. The final four games in the Sweet 16 for four more spots in the Elite Eight as we enter Elite Eight weekend, this second weekend of the 2023 Big Dance. So before we say farewell for the week and send you into your weekend, you need a best bet. So before we say goodbye, it's time for a Sweet 16 best bet. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. The nightcap, in Kansas City, Missouri. Texas and Xavier, the 2-3 matchup in the round of 16 in the Midwest region. The Longhorns opened as a 3.5-point favorite at the conclusion of the round of 32 on Sunday. I jumped in on Texas then. The line has worked in favor of the Longhorns. It is now 4.5. I still believe Texas is the right side. I think 1 through 5, Texas has as good of a starting lineup as you will see around college basketball. At the guard spot, Marcus Carr, Tyrese Hunter, the big man down low, Brock Cunningham, the Texas native. And when you go to the bench and you add in Sir Jabari Rice, the balance and the depth that Rodney Terry's Texas team has, make him the full-time head coach, by the way, is as good as you will find in the country. They are the 15th most efficient offense, according to KenPom. They are the 10th most efficient defense in all of college basketball, according to Kenneth Pomeroy. Xavier is really good offensively, number 7 in all the land, but in the mid-60s defensively. I think some of those defensive deficiencies go in the way of Texas tonight. Laying 4.5, back the Longhorns to advance to the Elite Eight. That does it for this week. Live right here on the morning after on Sports Grid. Have a wonderful Elite Eight weekend. As Andrew Bocciagalupo gives me the countdown in Spanish in my ear, Miami Moneyline, I guess. See you on Monday.